God, come to you and we thank you because you are good and kind and loving to us. Thank you that we can speak to you in song and prayer. Thank you for how you stir our hearts as we do. Thank you, God, for your word. And I pray this morning that you will help us to, through your word, to know and love you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Okay, there's something that happens sometimes when we read the Bible. So we know we should read the Bible. That's, I think I said last week, that tends to be like a weekly application in the message. We know we should read the Bible, and many of us do, and that's good. But there's something inconvenient that happens many times when we read the Bible, something difficult, something a bit uncomfortable. And the text that we're going to see today in Deuteronomy, it's going to be a minute before we get there, so just, you know, patience is a virtue. But when we get there, the text we're going to see in Deuteronomy will help us understand and how we should read and obey the word of God. So what's this thing that happens when we read the Bible, this uncomfortable, inconvenient thing? Okay, when we read, many times we come across difficult teachings, things that we read and we go, oh, they're hard for us. They're hard for us maybe to understand. Maybe they're hard for us to accept. We understand them, but we say, ugh, I just don't like that. The hard for us to obey. Have you ever been reading the Bible and read something and been, ooh, that's going to be really, really difficult to do? Let me keep reading so I can get an easier application before I'm done. Don't do that. But we have that feeling, right? There's things that are hard to understand, to accept, to obey. Okay, so sometimes it's with difficult teaching, certain themes, certain things you read in the Bible, and you just go, oh, that goes so much against what everybody else says. That is so unpopular. Not that that's important, but it goes against culture. It's just not, that's the way that is stated. That's not the way that's not the way things are, you know, quotation marks. That's not the way things are now. And there's something that I do part of our Hispanic ministry, I call it a radio show, but it's not on the radio. It's on YouTube. So it's, you know, a radio show on YouTube, where people write in questions about God and the Bible and life, and then I answer the questions. And over the years, it's been incredibly eye-opening because you see the same pattern of questions. You see the same pattern. There's you know, sometimes I get a new one, and that's exciting. But a lot of times, it's the same questions that have been asked many, many, many times. There's a handful, and they all have to do, I think, with the things that in general, not you and I, but in general, we have a hard time with that God says, and they're centered on sex and romantic relationships and dating people who aren't Christians and what the Bible says about divorce and remarriage and homosexuality. And over and over and over again, the same questions come in. Why? Because there are things that the Bible says that we read and we say, oh, I don't like that. I don't like what that means for me. I can't, it's so hard for me to accept that because it's either not popular in society or more likely, if I say that that's true, then what does that mean for this person that I really care about? Or even worse, what does that mean for my life? What am I going to have to change? That's one category. There's another category of difficult things that we read in the Bible, and those are things that they're doctrines that are hard for us to understand. Maybe we understand the words on the page, but we all have systems of doctrines that we believe. The longer we've been in the church, in the way of Christ, as long as we've been following God, there's things that we've always believed. It's just the way we see the Bible. It's what's been taught in our church. Maybe it's what I grew up believing. It's our system. And maybe you subscribe to an actual system. Maybe you would raise your hand and say, I'm an Arminian or I'm a Calvinist or whatever. Maybe you subscribe to an actual system. If not, it doesn't matter. Maybe you don't have a name for your system, but if you've been in this for a while, you have a system of things that you believe. And then God says things in his word as you're reading, and we can't make some of those things fit into our system. We read the way we go, oh, but I always, this is the way it is. But then it says this, and even worse, sometimes there's things that within the Bible itself that appear to be incompatible. We read things in the Bible. Have you ever read something in one part of the Bible And then later on, been reading something somewhere else, and you know what this says because it fits in your system, and you have a category for that. And then you read something else, say, well, if this is true, how does that work with this one over here? They're not, and we struggle to make them fit, but God says both of them. Here's a good example. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Not a perfect example. It's very convenient because it's within the same set of two verses. So appearing not contradictory, obviously, it's God's word. The contradiction is in my mind, not in his word. But we read this, and so read Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then we read for verse 13 and then we'll come back. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So it appears that it's saying first that we have to work out our salvation. And then it appears to be saying that God's the one who works everything in us. And when we read this, there's one camp that would say amen after verse 12, because that fits in a category we have. There's another camp that kind of skims over verse 12 and would read verse 13 and say, yes, absolutely, because that seems to really fit in a category that I have. And it's very few, I think, who would read that and say, wait a second, what's it saying? What's verse 12 saying? What's verse 13 saying? How does that work? And maybe I don't understand it, but what does it clearly appear to be saying? And of course, the more that we read the Bible, the more examples you have of, yeah, and this thing over here, and this thing over here, and this other thing over here, and this other thing over here appears to clearly be saying that this and this, and how does that work? That doctrines and teachings appear to be incompatible. So what do we do when we find these difficult texts in the Bible, things that we don't want to accept, or things that are hard for us to understand? I think our tendency is to read them, and then as we're reading them, we say, well, it appears to be saying this, but it could be saying that. Here's what it actually, I think, is saying. And we interpret Scripture according to what we think it should be saying, according to what makes sense for us. And as we do that, we twist the Word of God. We start conforming it to our image, which seems to be the opposite of what should happen, right? We redefine what God is saying to make it fit into what we believe or what we want into our way of seeing life so that it can be compatible with what we like, with what we want, with what we want to do, with the way we think things should be, with the way that we've always believed, what we want to believe, our system of theology. This is a problem with receiving our morals from culture, from what's around us, our definition of what love is and how life is supposed to be. It's also a problem that every complete system of theology shares. Theology is good. I love theology, the study of God, right? But inevitably, we start to want our system to be complete. We want everything we read in the Bible to fit not into God's system, but into the system we have. We feel like we have to explain every last detail and all has to fit. And it gets to the point where there are things that God clearly says that don't fit into anyone's human system. And that makes us reject what we come across in the Bible that is difficult and uncomfortable. We don't understand and twist the Word of God. We could ask ourselves at this point, why do we do that? Because even if you don't raise your hand and say, I see that in me. I do. I have a tendency to try to explain everything and make it work with the way I want things to be and the way I believe things are. You know somebody, you've seen people do that. You turn on any random person preaching on the radio or TV. You could see them twisting the Word of God to fit what they, not everybody, not, this, not just because you're being broadcast doesn't mean it's bad, but easier to find. You can find examples easily of people twisting God's word to fit what they want in their system. Why do we, the global royal we, why do we do that? We do that because, I think, because we're made in God's image. And God knows and understands everything. And from the beginning, what was the temptation? You could be like God. We want to be like God. And so and that manifests itself in our life partially by feeling like we have to be able to explain everything, that everything has to fit in our mind. And for it to be real, it has to be able to fit up here, and I have to make sense of it. We have to be able to give an answer to everything. We can't say, I don't know. If I stood up here and read something where the Bible said, I don't know what that means, you would be like, don't come back next week. We can't say, I don't know. It has to fit in our minds. It has to make sense for me if I'm going to do it. I don't want to do. What's the biggest question that little children ask their parents? Yes, why? Why? What is the biggest question big people ask people? Why? Why do I have to do that? I'll do it if I understand and if I'm in agreement. We do that with God as well. We have to understand. That's just another evidence of our tendency to rebel against the true King. We want to be the little gods of our life. We want to know everything and for everything to make sense for us. So what should we do with the Word of God? We're creeping towards Deuteronomy. What should we do with the Word of God? There's a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 29. After Moses renews the covenant with the people, if you notice, we read all of 29. I think we left off verse 29. So we read 29 verse 1 through 8 when we talked about the covenant, I believe. And then we left off the last verse. He's just gone over all of God's, not all, many of God's commandments, God's covenant with them. So many commandments that they're going to have to obey and they're not going to understand. So many commandments that we know historically afterwards that they weren't going to obey. They were going to be really difficult for them to obey. And then he tells them something. He tells them something that is going to teach them, to show them how to respond to God and to his word and to his commandments, the ones that they understand, and also, more helpful for us, the ones they don't understand, the ones that won't make sense to them, the ones that they don't like, the ones that they're not going to want to do. Look at Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. The things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. It's not even so we would understand, so we would do. This is the big idea. And then I wrote three things. So by definition, not the big idea. Together, this is our big idea from this text. God gives us his word, and we will never completely understand the mind of God, but we have to obey what God says if we are to be his people. We should accept. This verse gives us permission. It opens up a door, and not even that. It leads us, it commands us to accept that we won't understand everything. We won't be in agreement with everything that God says. It won't always make sense to us, and that's okay. What we do have to accept and obey everything he says, even when we don't understand, even when we don't like. And then, of course, if you're saying, didn't Jesus say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind? How do we love God with all our mind? Well, it's by thinking of him and trying to understand him better, right? And his will and his mind and how he works and what he's like and what he thinks and thinking his thoughts. I should love him with all my mind. We should. And also, we should accept that we will never completely understand. We will never fully be able to get everything to fall into our categories and have a system that explains it all. Why can't we understand? Because God is so much bigger than us. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. By definition, God knows and says and thinks thoughts and ideas that we will never understand because we aren't God. If it weren't like that, he wouldn't be God. If we could completely understand and get our mind around everything that God says and everything that God thinks, we would be God. And we're not. And our mistake, our error, is not accepting that we will never completely understand. It's trying to make everything fit and force everything to fit in a way that I could understand, instead of sometimes just accepting and saying, I don't get that, but that's what he said, so that's what it is. Our error is not obeying what we don't like because we're not quite in agreement yet, like a petulant teenager. No offense. We've all been there, so that's pointing fingers at all of us. Okay, go to Romans chapter 11. Maybe I won't say that line tonight. Okay, Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. That's a really good verse. I'm going to start over. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment. How inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. God is so much bigger than us. We're never going to completely understand him, right? I find it ironic that this verse, this section of scripture, is in the book of Romans, and it's right in the middle of Paul's extensive explanation of the gospel, right as he's about to launch into a whole bunch of moral implications of the gospel, things we're supposed to do, many of which are hard to do and we struggle with doing. Right in the middle of that, right in the middle of a section of the Bible that has divided people who seek after Jesus because we want to make it all fit completely perfectly into our little bubbles, and we can't. And if I can't make it fit, then I'm gonna twist it and turn it until it does completely fit. Paul says, we can't understand. We're never going to understand. God's the depths and the riches of wisdom and the knowledge of God are unsearchable and inscrutable. We don't know his mind. He gives us, Moses said in Deuteronomy 29, he gives us his word, and what we understand we're supposed to obey, and we're also supposed to know, I will never completely know his mind, and that is okay. We have to have a special category, and I heard this a long time ago from another preacher. Not word for word what I'm going to say. You know I don't have that kind of memory. The idea, the concept I got from somebody else, so go with me on this. We need to have a special category in our mind. When I read Romans 12, or 11, I say, I need to have a special category in my mind for things that God says. And I can read it and say, this is what it's saying. God clearly said that, but I don't understand it completely. That's what needs to go in that category. Or that doesn't completely make sense to me. Or I don't like that at all, but God said it. Or I can't make that fit into what I know are pillars of doctrine that I see throughout the Bible that I have based my faith on. But God says this. We have to have a special category for that. That's the inscrutable riches of God's wisdom category that I want to try to understand. And I'm also going to accept that I won't ever fully understand everything that's in that category. However, whatever is in that bucket, if God said it, then I will accept it and I will obey and I will live my life according to what God said, even though I don't understand it. Everything here in this life is partial. We don't get it all. We want to have it all. We don't get it all. One more verse. I think one more verse. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. And I know this is pulling the verse out of context, but I think we'll do it justice. And then go back and read the whole context. Start in chapter 12, read through chapter 14. For now we see, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. We live in a world that is broken because of the rebellion against God. Nothing here is perfect. Not our happiness, not our experiences, not even our worship of God is perfect. How often do we get distracted in the middle of we're singing a beautiful song and our heart is moved, and all of a sudden I'm thinking about this thing I have to do later, and I hate that. Maybe that's just me. Our family and our community isn't perfect. Nothing is perfect, and neither is our knowledge and our understanding of God and his will. Nothing is perfect here, and while we are here, we don't have to understand everything. We don't have to say, I like everything that God says, but we do have to say, I accept what you say, and I have to obey what our Father says. Read Deuteronomy 29 with me one more time. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. If you came this morning to worship together and you're driving here, you said, I I so badly want to have a verse that would be really good to memorize this week because I want to memorize something in the Bible this week. That would be a really good one to do. And even if you weren't thinking that, that would be a good one to memorize. So application, what should we do with this? If you aren't a Christian, what we just read, those words are an invitation for you to obey the gospel because maybe you don't understand everything. And maybe that's why you're not making your decision. I don't understand enough yet. But if you understand and you know that you were made in the image of your Creator, and if you know that you've rebelled against Him, and that He came and He died in your place, and that He calls you to surrender your life to Him, then this verse is a call to you to obey what you clearly understand, to give yourself to Jesus by repenting and being baptized, to accept Him in that moment as your Savior and Lord. And when you say, I'm ready to obey that, don't understand everything, but I'll keep reading my Bible. I'll understand it as I go through life. Then tell someone. You can repent, be baptized. And for those of us who are Christians, our Father has given us His Word. The King of the universe has deigned to give us, to speak to us. And it doesn't matter if we understand or if we like everything He says. It's inconceivable that He would talk to us. So what should we do? We should listen. We should open our Bibles every day and read. God's Word has been, the things that have been revealed, He's given them to us. And then we should ask ourselves as we're reading, what is this saying? What is it saying? What was it saying to the people who read it initially? What does it mean like with the stuff that's around it? So the stuff that came before it and after it, what does this actually mean here? Not what does this have to mean because of this whole system that I have of what everything means and how do I stuff it into my system? What does this mean in its context? And then we should accept that. We should say, God said that. And maybe even it would be helpful to say that out loud when we're reading stuff that's hard for us to accept, to say, okay, God said that. I accept that with joy and submission, not with rebellion, not with gritted teeth. And then the things that are revealed were given to us that we might what? That we might do them, that we would obey. So we should obey. We should obey what we read. So as we read, we should also ask, what should I do? We should end our Bible reading and say, what should I do? What does God want me to do because of what I read? Our responsibility as Christians is to accept what God says and to obey it. It's a privilege to be able to understand how things work and how they're connected, but it's not a requirement. We should accept and we should obey. Even more inconceivable than that God would give us His Word is that God Himself would come to earth to rescue us from our rebellion against Him. He gives us His Word, and then we disobey His Word, and then He rescues us. That's incredible. He rescues us by putting His Son on a cross. Letting His creation cruelly kill Him, letting His blood spill down, and then resurrecting Him in power. The same God who speaks to us in His Word has grace with us when we don't listen to Him and when we disobey Him. And that is incredible. Together now, let's celebrate the grace of God. Let's remember our Savior's death as we take the bread and we take the juice together. And let's celebrate the grace that God has with us that we do not deserve. God, we thank You because You are so good. You speak to us and then You forgive. You forgive us for the times that we've ignored Your voice and not obeyed You and argued with You and twisted Your Word. And you have grace with us. And the grace that we receive is because of Jesus on the cross. Because He in our place suffered as a disobedient one, even though He was not disobedient ever. And because of Him, we can receive the full favor, Your full favor that You give to one who is perfect, even though we are not perfect. But in Him we are. We thank You for that. In His name we pray. Amen.